Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Henry Petrosky said, "Science is about knowing, engineering is about doing." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who both knows his craft and does it well. Today's Playmaker grew his staff from one engineer and an assistant to more than 100 engineers and staff. With us today is a CEO whose company is a team of professionals providing structural and civil engineering, geospatial and facility performance services within a diverse group of markets. This great playmaker is Steve Lucy. Steve is CEO and managing partner of JQ. In 1994, CEO and managing partner Steve Lucy co-founded the Dallas office of JQ, one of Texas's top engineering firms. As I mentioned before, with one engineer and assistant, Steve has grown the Dallas office to a team of more than 100, with headquarters in Dallas's Design District and offices in Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Lubbock. Throughout his career, Steve has built an impressive track record involving a diverse portfolio of engineering projects. Among JQ's most notable projects are the William P. Clements Jr. University Hospital at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, the Trinity River Campus East for Tarrant County College District in Fort Worth, the Engineering Education Complex, formerly Zachary Building, for Texas A&M University in College Station, the Cathedral Shrine of the Virgin of Guadalupe expansion in Dallas, the Toyota Pavilion Music Factory in Irving, and the American Cemetery Visitor and Interpretive Center in Manila, Philippines. There's a lot there and a lot to talk about. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome. Thank you.
Well, how did you go from being a solo engineer in a firm and an assistant to more than 100 engineers and staff?
Well, it obviously doesn't happen overnight. So it's taken also a lot of effort, not just for myself, but from everybody else. So the first was just finding that really critical, high-quality staff that you can start to build around. And we've been very fortunate in the Dallas market and in Texas that there's a lot of very capable people here in Texas, as well as those from other parts of the country that want to be here in Texas.
My guess is you didn't just start hiring people. You had to have business to support those people. So you apparently were doing a lot of business development as you were building your firm.
Yes, that's definitely a part of it. The commitment that I made to myself was that I would work at least 40 billable hours a week, and all the other time beyond that was for business development. And so that we could keep the revenue coming in, that's obviously critical to the success of a firm, but at the same time then reach out and be able to create those long-term relationships that we've been able to enjoy with so many of our clients.
Well, you've been running this firm for over 20 years, coming up on 25 years. Did it just go on a path straight up, or did you have a number of obstacles that you had to deal with to get to where you are right now?
It was, I mean, you like to look back at it and think it was just like this steady growth, but with everything, it's kind of on a stair-step pattern to get there. And there were definitely times that we experienced more substantial growth as a percentage year over year than we have at times, and there have been challenges that we've had to face from the overall economy. Being associated with the construction industry, it's very cyclical. And one of the things that's really helped us is diversify our markets to try to prevent some of that cycling that occurs in the marketplace.
Well, I did go to your website, and that website is jqeng.com. And it's obvious that you really have diversified. You have a number of different areas that you're working. Which brings the next question. What do you do? Tell us about the business and actually what JQ does.
Well, the firm started doing structural engineering really for architectural clients. And so it was the vertical market working on buildings and other things. And over the years, we've expanded that out. It's still primarily structural engineering focused. We're the ninth largest structural firm in Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma region. But we've gone to a lot of affiliated services like civil engineering, surveying, facilities performance that have built off that core set that we had from a structural engineering standpoint. Concurrent with that, we diversified from architectural clients being 100% of our client base. They now make up about 60% of our client base and work a lot directly for our owners as well as for other engineering firms and contractors, et cetera.
To have broadened your scope, my guess is you brought a lot of expertise in that you didn't have. Is that correct?
We have. We've been very fortunate. We have long-term employees with us who have expertise in their own areas and their own client base and market focus. And that's probably, if I look back on it, what I would consider my most successful part of our business is that we've been able to bring in people who've seen the long-term opportunities to give them those opportunities, allow them to flourish in those areas that they wanted to on their own. And has just added to the benefit of the overall organization on what we're able to do.
Well, you're an Aggie.
I am.
And proud of it.
I am.
Well, as most Aggies are. Tell us how you got started. Did you know you were going to be an engineer when you got into college, or did this develop as you were in college?
Actually, I knew I was going to be an engineer when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
What led you up to that?
My father was a civil engineer from A&M. My uncle was a civil engineer from A&M. My older brother is a civil engineer from A&M. And when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I actually found my father's textbooks in the cabinet and pulled those out and was just fascinated by the pictures and imagery I saw from those textbooks from the 1940s and 30s. And so when people ask me, you know, in second, third grade, what are you going to be? And everybody's saying fireman, police officer, I'm saying I'm going to be a civil engineer. I wasn't just an engineer. I was going to be a civil engineer. And I fulfill that prophecy.
I guess back in those days when you said that to the other kids, they had no idea what you're talking about.
Everybody thought you were going to be, as an engineer, you were going to be on a train as a conductor or something.
That's what I would have thought if I was that age, too. Is there any one thing in the last, about 24 years, that really was the impetus for turning around this firm?
I think one was just the opportunities that Texas in general has provided to so many people as the economy and the state has grown so much. And there's so many people from outside the state that want to be in the state. And so it's a very unique position to be in geographically, economically, and culturally to really focus in on Texas, which has not always obviously been the case. There's also been a change and a shift from just being an oil and gas or ranching to a much broader economy, which allows us to have a footprint across the country. And we do work across the entire United States, all based here in Texas.
Well, you are fortunate to be in Texas and to be able to be a part of all that growth, but the work just didn't come to you. Just opening up your doors didn't cause you to become where you are today. So what are some of the things that you did to be able to build up a firm?
I think one is our industry is very relationship driven. And so I'm happy to say that I have clients today that I actually have had since 1983 when I started my career out of school. And we continue to work together. The other one is being very focused on transitioning relationships to the next generations. And so one of my advice to our younger staff is don't think that you have to necessarily have a relationship with a partner in another firm. You need to establish these same relationships with your peers and other firms just like I did. And those relationships will grow over time. The other part of it then is just not being afraid of risk. Any growth has a risk component to it. And as an engineer, we sometimes can overanalyze the risk and we spend more time on the analysis than we do on the decision-making process. And I've made a very conscious decision. Sometimes I cannot know 100% of the answer, but I also have confidence in what we as a team can do. And therefore, it's a risk that's worth taking in order to advance and be able to grow the company. And that's somewhat recognized in the geographic expansions that we've done and also these changes into other markets and services that we've done.
Well, you started with one assistant. Your skill set was civil engineering and managing basically one person and business development. So how did you move from those skill sets at that point to becoming a leader, which my guess is you do a lot more of that now than you ever have done before?
Yeah, I was fortunate in the firm that I went to, that I first started work out of school, gave me a lot of opportunities to take on responsibilities that were, looking back on it, were well advanced from my experience level. And the most critical experience I ever had was I had an opportunity with them to go work overseas for a year. And it really allowed me an opportunity to focus in on what I wanted to do and what I needed to change in myself in order to be able to accomplish those tasks. And so when the opportunity 3 years later came along to join JQ to take on that responsibility, I'd already experienced a much more difficult situation or risky situation in the past, and I was able to build off that and really start to implement that in JQ.
At the opening, I mentioned a number of different projects that you have completed, and your background in civil engineering. As you mentioned, you've brought on a lot of other diverse areas of engineering. What do you really enjoy, and what was your favorite project up to this point?
Yeah, I'll say a little bit. Civil engineering is my degree. My focus is structural engineering, which is one of the sub-disciplines within civil engineering. The project type that I feel has been most important in my career is really related to historic preservation. We've been very fortunate as a firm to be involved in over 45 different county courthouse restorations in the state of Texas. I grew up in Longview in East Texas, and in these towns that still have their courthouses, it's a very active part of the town. Many of these towns are still focused around the town square, and to have an impact on those communities in that way not only has a technical aspect to it that is enticing to me from a structural engineering standpoint, but has this whole community aspect and soft aspect to it that makes you realize what kind of impact we can have as engineers on the communities around us, which you don't always get to have that joy added to your career. So if I look at that, the one that here in town that's been the most significant to me was the Shrine of Guadalupe in downtown. Because what we did in that expansion was actually fulfill the design that was done in 1896 that never was built because of budget concerns, the same issues we have now on projects in today's market. And 100 years later, we were able to complete that design from the original design documents, and that was just a really interesting process to go through. Actually, took my daughter out there. She still talks about it when she was about 12 years old, and she was able to sit out there and watch them erected in the middle of the night.
You have the original documents from 1896?
They do. They're actually stored in the Moody down in Galveston. For that particular architect who did it, all of his construction documents for most of his projects, which include a lot of the courthouses around the state, they have the original construction documents.
I know nothing about civil engineering or structural engineering, but as you were talking about courthouses that were built hundreds of years ago, I'm sure that's one of the most difficult pieces of restoring any of those buildings is making sure the structure first is where it should be. Is that difficult getting in there and redoing everything that was done 100 years ago?
As I like to tell people, they don't build them like they used to, and that's a really good thing. Because the construction time back then and how they did things were not in compliance, obviously, with current codes. We usually don't have the documentation. There's usually a lot of field work and testing that we need to do. And you're right, we have to make sure that the bones of the building are adequate before they go through all the restoration and everything else that they're going to do to restore the old building. And that's kind of the interesting part, to understand the history, because a lot of them were affected by fire at different points. A lot of them has changed over the time as the communities grew or shrank. And so you can kind of see this whole timeline of the community physically in front of you as it relates to these courthouses.
It's almost as if you are excavating and finding these fossils in there and learning the history as you're looking at pieces of the building. As I'm sure you mentioned fires, I'm sure many of the buildings were added on to, or some part of it might have been destroyed and they were changing it. And you mentioned this a little bit. it sounds like you enjoyed being that historian as you're going back and taking a look at these old buildings.
Very much so. I mean, part of being an Aggie is tradition. I mean, it's at our core. Part of growing up in East Texas was the tradition, you know, the oral history that was told through the family. And this is just kind of an extension of that from a professional standpoint, those two things to kind of combine together for me.
We're speaking with Steve Lucy. Steve is the CEO and managing partner of JQ. Their website is jqeng.com if you'd like to check out the diverse areas of projects they've worked on. But as CEO of JQ, is there any advice, and I brought up leadership a moment ago, that you'd like to offer to others in leadership given the scope of what you do in your job?
I think one is you have to realize that you can't do it all yourself. And that's a big transition, especially if you start in a really small firm and as it transitions up. It really takes a team effort in order to do this. We tend to, as a CEO, you're very confident in your abilities, and you tend to hold a lot of things in sometimes and feel like you're the only one that can possibly do it. And you have to be able to shed those things, hand those things off in a rational format to them, give them the resources that they need, and then trust them that they're going to do the correct job and be there as a mentor to them as they start to do their task. So one of the things I really enjoy about my job is that I do have all these people that I can work with, that I can be a mentor to. It's to pick those out that are 5-10 years in their career and understand the bright future that they have, and then it's incumbent upon us to provide them the opportunities and the resources in order to fulfill that. The other is, again, don't be afraid of risk. Risk is it's a very positive thing from my standpoint. Great things come when you have confidence in yourself and know that you have the abilities to do certain things with those around you, and you as a group decide to take on some form of risk. There's great things can happen at that point.
Well, growth involves risk, and there are problems along the way. This was not, you have not had 25 years of or 24 years of a perfect company. You've had problems, and you grow from those risks too. You've been doing this about 35 years or so. Do you see yourself developing your people to be the next generation taking over JQ?
We do. We went through a strategic planning process this last year, and part of that was to create the succession plan. So my replacement has been identified tentatively. We have another 4 years within that transition process that we're working through. I don't want to leave the firm in 4 years because I take great pride in what we've been able to accomplish. But I also know that there has to be a transition in order to carry on the legacy of the company. And I've seen multiple peer firms that just kind of walk to the edge, and as I term it, kind of the cult of personality of the one person at the top. They don't want to hand over, and the firm just dissolves because of that. And that is definitely not our plan, and in order to do that, we have to have all the right people and all the planning in place and a smooth transition. And that's, I feel like we've had a good first year in that, and we're well on the way to having that happen.
Well, we just talked about you moving to the next stage in your career with what you're doing with JQ. Let's go all the way back. You mentioned that you saw your dad's books when you were 7 or 8 years old. Can you go back and remember your first job?
I did. It was second grade. I worked. My uncles raised cattle, and for $2 a week, I worked for my uncle, who would pick me up after school every day, and I was his until it got dark. And so I built fence, I fed cows, I did whatever he wanted me to do is what I did for $2 a week. He was also a rural route mail carrier, and so every 3 months or so, he would dump all his loose change he'd gotten from everybody paying for postage, and that was our bonus that we got, was to sort through all his coins and put them in sleeves, and then he'd give it to us.
You mentioned that you looked at those books when you were 7 or 8. Between that age and getting into college, was there anything you did that related to civil or structural engineering?
Dad would bring home survey equipment to the house. As I tell the story, Dad would survey, and then he'd hand us a shovel and tell us where to dig. And then he would survey something else and hand us another shovel and tell us where to dig. So I definitely understood that I did not want to be holding the shovel. I wanted to be working the survey equipment. And so that kind of led that along. I enjoyed STEM classes, math, science. And so I took all those that I possibly could while I was going through school. And then at the end of the day, I also knew that I was going to be an Aggie engineer. And so I only applied to A&M. I had opportunities and scholarship offers all over the place, but I only applied to A&M because I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do.
Well, you were focused, knew, as you said, exactly what you wanted to do. Can you think of the best advice that you've ever received, either prior to becoming an engineer or since you started your business?
Well, I think one piece of advice that my dad always told us is remember who you are and where you come from. And I think you have to have a basis of which everything else builds off of. And so that can mean a lot of things with your career. I think on the professional side, it needs to understand what your capabilities are, what are your core values, how are you going to treat people, and that gets into how you want to be treated also. Because if you're not willing to do those things for others, they're not going to be willing to do those things for you. So my best advice is just know that your successes are all predicated on the success of those around you. And if you try to absorb all that just to yourself, you're bound to fail because nobody's going to want to be around you to assist you.
Well, what I've heard by listening between the lines is you've obviously understood how to delegate, or the people around you wouldn't have learned how to do the things you know how to do. Well, you've developed a number of skills along the way. What's next for JQ and or you, because you'll still be involved with the firm?
Yeah, it's been my desire is in order for us to grow to the extent we want to grow, and we have a very aggressive growth plan that we want to do. I really want to focus on to that aspect of the company, and that's through mergers or acquisitions, different service lines that we want to develop, all those things that we don't do now that we want to do to make us a different company.
You have, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have, I believe, you're in six cities in Dallas, Austin, or in Texas, rather, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Lubbock, San Antonio. You mentioned mergers, acquisitions. Do you foresee it remaining in Texas or broadening outside the Southwest or the United States?
For right now, we're comfortable staying within Texas because Texas is such a huge market. If you talk to people outside of Texas, everybody wants to be here, and they still can't get their arms around the fact about how big Texas is. At the same time, we've looked to neighboring states or the Southwest because we feel like that's a good cultural fit also. I don't think I can wear my cowboy boots in New York and not stand out, and I also know my accent. Having lived and worked in London for a year, there's certain areas that we just stand out as soon as we open our mouth. And so we will probably continue to be focused in Texas with some opportunities outside the state, but primarily, at least in the near term, it's all going to be Texas.
So should somebody want to find out more about JQ, where would they go?
Our website's the best way to start, jqeng.com. And then also all our contact information and leadership is on there. And so if you're in a specific geographic area or a different market segment, there's definitely people on that website that are identified as our best contact point.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You are definitely a playmaker, and a playmaker is someone that makes something happen, and you've obviously done that. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
As I mentioned, we were speaking with Steve Lucy. Steve is CEO and Managing Partner of JQ. It's been great having Steve on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.